KRWM, HD3, Bremerton, Seattle.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Carol Reitberger Show, where each week you'll hear a new topic dealing with health and wellness. Carol will be taking your calls and answering your personal questions. And now, here's Carol.
Compatibility is like an insurance policy. It has to be renewed every now and then. Interesting way to start the show, food for thought. Hello, and thanks for joining me. I'm your host, medical intuitive Carol Reitberger. And the topic of today's show is compatibility. What's personality got to do with it? And a lot of what I'm going to be sharing with throughout the entire show as far as personality and compatibility actually is taken from my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It? That's available through HayHouse.com and Amazon.com. I started that book out by really wanting to share with other people how to use personality to be able to understand the differences in people and then how to be able to create mutually satisfying relationships. And so as with all authors, I started out, well, I'm going to be sharing this information with my reader, and I got about 30 pages in the book, and I thought, wow, I really need to learn from this because my personality is one that I suffer from commitment anxiety, as all yellow personalities do, and as a result, I find it very difficult to even open myself up, to even be open and find out who's compatible with me. Now, as a yellow, I married a fellow yellow, and people will say, well, that's got to be absolutely great, Carol. You're married to your own color and your own likeness. You think alike. Yes, we do. But they said it's got to be just sheer bliss where there's no conflict, there's no struggle. And it's like, really? There is. There's lots of it. Because while we're the same in our personality color, there are areas based on our differences and the way we were raised and everything that still brings up those issues around not seeing eye to eye. So the more we can understand about compatibility and about the differences, then the easier it is when those times of struggle come forward that we can literally step back, take a deep breath, and say, you know, this person really isn't trying to make my life miserable. It's just at this moment they're not seeing things the same way that I do. Now, I have a choice. I can either convince my fellow yellow, my Mr. Bruce, my husband, to see things my way, which is going to create a power struggle, or I can just recognize that compatibility, the source of it is that each person's needs must be honored, their values must be respected, and we need to know about those values and differences in order for us to become compatible. Compatible isn't something that we should use as a parlor game to go in and say, you know, I can't be with you because we're not compatible. Sometimes our greatest friends, our greatest lovers, and I know for sure our greater teachers actually come from being with someone who is different than we are. Now, going back, opposites do attract. It's the human nature of our very being. But the reality of it is in the beginning, those differences appear to be very compatible. But the deeper we get into the relationship, the more those differences become our source of irritation. Now we go back and we look at compatibility differently. And we say to ourselves, we're not compatible at all. Well, if you looked at yourself as strengths and weaknesses, opposites do complement each other, but it does make it a difficult process to get on the same wavelength. So that's a little bit of a sneak preview of what the show's going to be about today. I'm really looking forward to sharing this information and to being able to help you, especially if you're single and you're out looking for Mr. or Ms. Right, and you're always wanting to, you know, check these people out and find the right person because you've been there, done that, where you've been in a relationship that isn't healthy, then today's show is going to help you. If you are in a relationship and you're in a relationship with someone who is different than you are because opposites do attract, then I'm hoping that the information in the show is going to be able to help you really see the strengths within the other person and to be able to use those strengths as the form of becoming compatible with them. In addition to all of that, I'm going to be taking your calls. So if you have a question for me about compatibility, personality, or about your health, I'd love to share my medical intuitive skills with you. You can call me at 877-230-3062. That number's good in the U.S. and Canada, and then also international callers. Of course, dial your international calling code and then 877-230-3062. If you're not on my mailing list, my email mailing list, then I'm going to encourage you to go to my website, www.ritberger.com, and sign up as quickly as you can. If you think you're on it but you're not sure, sign up, because the database that I use will be able to sort through. It'll be able to recognize you if you're there. But if you're not, you're going to want to get on that email list, because what I have is I've got a brand new website that's going to be launching in the next couple weeks. And as a celebration of the launch, I'm going to be offering 3 free readings. And then also we've got a lot of new features on the website itself. I'm also going to be featuring the audio download from my October Your Health teleclass, which is on breast cancer, as a free gift on my website. And then also what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be downloading a gift that's going to be available in December that's going to help prepare you by connecting with your inner guide and how to be able to connect with that inner guide to be really able to take advantage of the energy of 2012, which is the year of abundance. So again, if you're signed up and you're not sure, sign up. If you're not signed up, please, I encourage you to do so. And then also share it with your friends and let them get signed up. Remember, you can always opt out. I try to be very sensitive to not spam or bombard people with too much stuff. But there are things that I really would like to be able to share that I personally have found in my own quest to understand myself and to move forward. It's information that I hope that you'll find of value. So again, the website is www.ritberger.com. And then the last thing is I'm going to be talking about personality based on color, because that's the way that I teach it. It's a lot better than calling somebody, you know, arrogant or, you know, demanding or critical and using those words that we tend to use. Or being affectionate, affiliate, whatever it may be, I find that we talk in the world of color. And so by teaching personality by color, it makes it really easy for us to understand ourselves, to be able to recognize the differences in other people and do it in a way that is non-threatening to either you or the other person, so you can create mutually satisfying relationships. That's the ultimate goal of a relationship, where both people can be in their skin, feel good about themselves, feel safe being able to share, and to be able to really help each other in their growth. So again, if you want to know more about your personality, there's a free personality assessment. It's a little mini snippet of my full version of my personality. Just go to my website, www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. www.whatcolorisyourpersonality.com. Go through the little assessment and poof, you're going to become a personality color. And I will tell you, it'll change the way that you see yourself and everyone who is in your life. If you want more information, then all of my books do have the What Colors Your Personality, Love What's Personality Got to Do With It, Managing People, What's Personality Got to Do With It, has a full version of the assessment. So again, go to my website, www.ritberger.com. You know, there's a Broadway song that, a musical, a song on the musical that says, I say tomato, you say tomato. I say potato, you say potato. Why can't we all get along? Well, it really comes down to the basics. So I went in and I said to myself, so what is compatibility? Well, Webster's Dictionary defines it as being capable of existing in harmony and being designed to work together. And while opposites may attract in the long run, those differences become our areas of conflict. So what we need to do is to find the areas that we are compatible. Everyone has them, no matter what relationship. If you're bonded and paired with your opposite, there is a compatible likeness about the two of you. Find that, and then what you do is then those differences become less and less of the focus, and then the compatible, the areas that you are similar, becomes the focus, and now we can create the relationships that we're really looking for. I'm asked all the time, does being compatible meaning that we have to acquiesce to the demands of other people just to maintain that harmony? Well, you know, as a good yellow personality that sees both sides of everything, the answer to that is yes and no. And what that means is sometimes we do need to acquiesce to the demands of other people if it's important for us to do that. But the difference is we need to make the decision to acquiesce to those demands. We need to not be guilted into doing that. So in the relationships, everything's a cycle. There's times where there's ebbs and flows. There's times when the relationship is really in sync and when the relationship is just bumbling and stumbling in the night and stepping on toes. And, you know, when we talk about relationships, our natural nature of our humanness is we're going to think about our spouses, our partners, our significant others, our children, our mothers, our fathers, that close-knit family. But, you know, really when you look at compatibility, you've got to look way beyond that aspect of it. And the people that you walk into, you know, you talk to in the grocery store, your coworkers or your friends. And again, compatibility touches every part of our life. So sometimes we do have to acquiesce. And then there's other times where acquiescing really compromises the values of who we are. And it creates this tremendous power struggle, not only within us, but then also with others. So we have to be able to go in and we have to set, you know, boundaries. Now, the green personality in my world, the word boundaries is too limiting. It's too harsh. It doesn't feel right to them. So I'll say to them, well, then what we need to do is set some guidelines, some parameters. So if you find in a relationship that you're being compromised, then being compatible doesn't mean that you suppress that compromise that you're feeling. It means that you speak it, you share it with someone, and then it's their job to hear it and act upon it. That's compatibility as much as if you're just really alike. It's that give and take that happens with relationships and really happens in that dance that we find around relationships. So let me tell you a little bit about each one of the personality colors. And when we really look at personality, what we're really looking at in the case of compatibility, we're looking at that emotional part of personality. We're not looking at that mental, logical part, because compatibility and whether we're compatible or not, or power struggles surface or not, really comes down to the emotions. So the first color that I'm going to address is red. And some of the emotional anxieties that are the red displays is there's a fear of not being able to provide the basic human needs of life for not only themselves but for other people. They fear that they're not going to be able to materialize what they need in order to feel guilty about themselves. They have a tremendous fear around poverty. They have a tremendous fear around personal safety. They have a tremendous fear around personal rejection. So in the realm of compatibility, if you are a person that tends to be outspoken and tends to speak your mind, then you're probably going to step on those red toes and it's going to create a power struggle and you're not going to be compatible. So as I go forward, what I'm going to do in the second segment, I'm going to actually break these down into colors most compatible to the least. But when you look at the red, the reds are strong, they're very determined, they can be very aggressive, but they do have some fears and insecurities that really surface in the relationships. And if we know that and we can work with those in a healthy, loving way, then we're able to create a relationship that is compatible. Oranges, for example, define love as a strong desire to care for the emotional needs of their friends and family. So one of their insecurities is they have a tremendous fear around being abandoned. They have a fear of being on their own and unsupported by others. They have a feeling of being taken advantage of and manipulated because of their good nature. So if you tend to be a personality that tends to need to be in control and you're with an orange and all you do is control them, then they're going to feel that and then they're going to feel compromised. And again, we don't have a compatible situation. So the other thing is the orange lives with a constant state of low-level anxiety, and then also they're worriers. So what you want to do to create a compatible relationship with an orange is you don't want to put them into a place of worrying all the time. You want to help them move out of the place and not compound it. The yellow personality, such as myself, some of my emotional anxieties and insecurities is the fear of intimidation, which really prevents me from establishing a relationship. I have this, as all yellows do, this fear of commitment. And so I have a skepticism about me. I don't necessarily take people for who they are at first glance. I have to interact with them. I have to let them be tried and true. I have to let them Be sure that their actions match their words. Now, that can make me very incompatible with other personalities that are so open and loving and giving and just accept people for who they are in that unconditional response. But I can learn to move beyond that to some degree, but it takes somebody that recognizes my insecurities that can help me get to that place where I feel safe and comfortable. Then I can open up, then I can commit, and then we can have a mutually beneficial relationship. Sometimes with the yellows, one of our frustration is the inability to break free of being controlled by the expectations of others. This is a big issue of incompatibility with yellows. We are so concerned with solving problems and so concerned with not becoming a part of the problem that we spend a lot of time trying to meet other people's expectations, yet that creates a tremendous insecurity in us because we're afraid we can't. Now it makes it very difficult for us to be around, and people see us as being difficult, aloof, reserved, hard to get to know, and really very incompatible. Now the greens, oh my goodness, the greens, compatibility is everything to the green. In the green, they define love as a harmonic convergence between two people. Greens have the wonderful ability to be able to accept everything about a person, even their opposites, until the relationship gets in deeper and then they feel compromised. So some of their anxieties and insecurities is the belief that they're not worthy of being loved. They have a tremendous fear about being rejected and not being loved. They feel responsibility for the feeling of others. They get confused around what love means to other colors, so they try very much to adapt and to be flexible, and in the process, many times will lose their own self in doing that. That can make them appear this mild-mannered, easy to get along with, cooperative, considerate, gentle, kind personality. All of a sudden can become this ogre and can become this being that is rigid, that is unresponsive and so forth. So that's just saying that in that compatibility issue that there's a power struggle going on. So again, when you go in and look at compatibility, you have to really know not only yourself, it all starts there, but then know also about the person that you're interacting with and what do they need and what are their basic motivations and what does make them happy, what irritates them. For example, the reds can't stand to have their time wasted. If you're a person that's with a red and you waste their time, there's going to be incompatibility issues. If you honor their needs about being punctual and being on time, then there's going to be compatible abilities between the two of you. So again, goes back. First start by knowing yourself. Go to my website, whatcolorsyourpersonality.com. Discover your color. Learn more about it. And then what I'm going to do in the next segment, I'm going to be sharing what colors are most and least compatible. But I want to jump in right now, and I want to jump in and actually go into Debbie. So hi, Debbie from California. Sweetie, how can I help you?
Yeah, hi. I was wondering, it's my first time calling you. I hear you're wonderful, though, and I was excited to actually take the time to do this. I am having some medical issues. I am seeing a doctor. I was having some sides in my pains in my left side, and I got concerned about it. At first, I thought it was just gas, but I wasn't sure. So I've been recently seeing a doctor, and they're doing tests on me, but I'm very concerned about what is going on there, and they're not sure. And I thought maybe you might have some insight into that.
Well, thank you, and thank you for, thank you for asking, and then also for your very kind words, sweetie. I really appreciate that. So the tests that they're running, have they done a colonoscopy?
They haven't done a colonoscopy, but they've done a CAT scan with contrast.
Okay, perfect. Okay, that works very, very well. So the digestive issues and what you have going on is that you have they diagnosed you? Let me go there. I always have to do that.
Yeah, no, that's okay. They haven't diagnosed me yet. I have a lap band, and I told them that I wasn't sure maybe my lap band had got lodged and was hitting my left side, but they were concerned because they found some issues in my stomach area.
Correct. Correct. So when we go in, and thank you for that, because a lot of the symptomology that you're experiencing is around diverticulitis. And that is a small intestine irritation and inflammation that occurs that can cause food to become blocked. It can cause discomfort and this sense of pain. It can cause flatulence, the gas buildup, and so forth. But I need to be clear, sweetie. You really don't appear to me to having diverticulitis, but what you do have is you have the symptomology. The reason that I ask about the colonoscopy is that you do have polyp in your descending large intestine. It is not anything to be concerned about. However, it can become festered and also can create a pain as well. So what you're dealing with that pain is more of a symptomology of something else that's going on. So the thing is, when I go in with the lap band, and I didn't know that you had one, so that's an indicator to me that there isn't really a problem with the lap band, what's causing what's going on. But what I am finding out is the foods that are getting into your stomach are not being broken down the way they need to. As a result, by the time they get into the small intestine, then what they're doing is they're not broken down enough, and we're getting some semi-solid particles in that area. And what occurs is those particles get caught in that little nook and cranny area of the small intestine, and that can create that festering or that cramping or that flatulence where it begins to ferment and can be creating some of the pain that you're feeling as your intestine's literally trying to squeeze and move it along. So that can be part of the thing. But when I go back in, we really do need to focus on the stomach. And when we do that, do you do digestive enzymes at all?
No, I don't.
Okay. And again, because you're new to this, what I would encourage you to do is to go and Google and research what digestive enzymes are. You can get them at a health food store. There's digestive enzymes that are more easily digestible, which works very well with lap band surgery. But one of the things the digestive enzymes will do is if you take them on a regular basis, they're going to prepare your stomach in a way that when food enters into it, it's going to, not only the chewing macerate, it's going to start breaking it down into a stomach chime where we're not getting the semi-solid particles that can create these the flatulence, bloating, and everything else you have. So you want to look at digestive enzymes. The other thing is, sweetie, have you been tested for any kind of food sensitivities?
No, I haven't. They're actually looking at the lining, because I said that the lining of my
correct
was thickened, and they're actually looking for some types of cancer right now.
Yeah. My sense is they will not find it. My sense is that what we have with the thickening of the stomach itself is the fact of the irritation itself. I can pick up a bacteria, H. pylori, that is active in the stomach. The stomach lining itself feels raw, so when food gets in, hydrochloric acid gets in, it feels like your stomach's chewing it just a little bit and spitting it out. That's what it really feels like to me. So you can look at digestive enzymes, because you're fairly new to this, talk to the doctors and find out what is going on. My sense is what they're going to find is they're going to find some remnants of some ulcers that you had probably when you were 16, 17 years old. Feels like that was a very traumatic time in your life. And so there's some residual there. They're not still active, but there's still some residual that is there as far as the composition of the stomach itself. And the way that it is, this thickening has to do where it easily allows H. pylori, a bacteria that lives in the stomach itself, to become active. That can cause, again, this stomach wanting to spit things out, doesn't chew it up enough, doesn't break it down enough. So you can look at that as well.
Okay, great.
And the other thing I ask you about the food sensitivities, sweetie, you do feel to me that you have a milk dairy product sensitivity. Do you do a lot of dairy product?
I don't drink a lot of milk, but I put creamer in my coffee.
Okay. Is it literally half and half or whipping cream, or is it a creamer?
No, it's a creamer.
Okay.
I try to get sugar-free or fat-free,
okay.
Like French vanilla.
Okay. Yeah, when I go in and I touch anything that has any kind of dairy associated with it, any kind of cheese or cottage cheese or anything that has any of that, I can find your stomach reacting.
Uh-huh.
So again, you know, look at what you're taking. It may be that you have in your creamer, I'm not going to go there right now, but I could probably go in and look at the ingredients. You probably have a milk whey or something in there, and that could be causing some of this inflammation.
Okay.
So the best thing, so there's your, I'm not stalling, but I just needed your stomach to talk to me. Isn't that a strange thing to say?
No, my stomach needs to talk to you, Carol.
It does. Your stomach is irritated. Just think of it as being irritated. In that irritation, it's hot, meaning that it gets really hot with anything you put into it. And like we touch something hot, it wants to get it out of its stomach. So what you want to do is you want to look for things that you can do to cool your stomach down. Ayurvedic medicine could help you. We could look at doing some dietary changes could help you. The probiotics, the digestive enzymes, one and the same could help you. We just want to get that stomach cooled down. That's the best way to think about it.
Okay.
And then I say it with love. There's something that's eating at you right now. It's not big. It's not, you've been working on it a long time. You want to take whatever's eating at you, take a deep breath, go in and touch it, and you just want to chew it using that maceration. That'll help you get rid of it emotionally. There's something that's bugging you, sweetie. The H. pylori to me in my world is a bug.
It's a bug. What does that mean?
That means that something, someone is bugging you.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah.
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 So we don't want to keep swallowing that. We don't want to get that in the stomach. We don't want that stomach to get irritated because it's kind of being buried there. So spend some time creatively figuring out how you can change, move away from, alter, whatever word you'd like, whatever is bugging you. Remove yourself from it. And I know that sounds woo-woo, but I'm going to tell you, sweetie, if you can remove yourself from that, whatever that looks like to you, then your whole upper digestive is going to start to cool down.
Oh, that would be nice.
It would be nice. So, very, very good. Well,
right.
A lot of information. This will be up in the archive, sweetie, at the end of this week, and you can go back and you can re-listen to it on my website, www.ritberger.com, and then you'll be able to listen to everything because I really – you know, get talking very, very quickly when we get into this. But thank you for joining me and for being open and receptive. You were just so beautifully open to me reading you.
Okay, thank you, Carol, very much. You have a very nice day, and thank you so much for your time and your help.
You are so welcome. Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I have a couple more callers on the line. Please hang on. But what I want to do is take a quick commercial break right now, and then I'm going to come back, talk a little bit more about the connection between compatibility and personality. Stay tuned.
How would you like to learn the hidden meanings behind illness and see how a medical intuitive views illness? You can by joining medical intuitive Carol Reitberger each month on her teleclass series, Your Health. Each month, she'll be featuring a different health issue and sharing the contributors behind it. You can register online at www.reitberger.com. That's www.reitberger.com.
If you have a question for Carol, call her now. Toll free at 1-877-230-3062.
Did you know that you can rate this show on iTunes? The show you're listening to right now. It's true. You can leave your thoughts about the show, the topic, the guest. You can even leave a suggestion. Then, before you leave, rate the show. The hosts love hearing from you. So next time you download this show from iTunes, leave your thoughts and rate the show for the host and for others.
Have you ever wanted to talk with a medical intuitive to uncover the hidden meanings behind your aches, pains, and illnesses? Now you can. Internationally renowned medical intuitive Carol Reitberger is now offering personal and health-related readings. Discover your soul's purpose. Learn about the soul and the pre-birth agreements that you have with the people in your life. Readings can be booked online at www.reitberger.com. An hour with Carol can be life-changing.
Welcome back, and thank you for joining me. If you are just joining me, today's show is all about compatibility, what's personality got to do with it, and in this segment, I'm going to be sharing what personality's colors are most compatible and least compatible with your personality color. Now, if you don't know your personality color, you can go to my website, www.whatcolorsyourpersonality.com. There's a mini assessment on that site. You answer just a few statements, respond to them, and poof, you become a personality color. I teach personality by color, red, orange, yellow, green, because it's very simple to remember who you are and very simple to look at the differences in other people based on color. What that does is it really diffuses a lot of the struggles, power struggles that we have with people who are different than we are. Now, we all have places where we're compatible and places where we're incompatible. As I mentioned in the first segment, opposites attract. When we're in that getting to know each other stage and that bliss and excitement of getting to know each other, those opposites aren't even, we're not even aware of them. But the deeper we get into the relationship, all of a sudden this little light bulb goes off in our head and says, oh, you might not be compatible with that person. Then what we have to do is go in and look for those areas of compatibility. So that's what I'm going to be talking about. One other thing is if you work with someone or you have a child or a significant other, partner, husband, spouse, whatever you want to, the phrase is, and you find that they are the least compatible, that doesn't mean go out and file for a divorce or get rid of them. But what it means is it means change your focus from the incompatibilities to the compatible parts of who you are. And it's all about compatibility is where we have to touch it on a regular basis and we have to work at it on a daily basis. I'm paired with my own personality color is a yellow. While we're two peas in a pod in many ways neurologically in the work that we do, we still are very different people. We have a lot of areas of compatibility, but every so often we hit that area where we're not compatible and we have to stop, take a deep breath, and then focus back on the areas that we are. I'm also going to be taking your calls, so if you have a question for me about compatibility, personality, or health, you can call me at 877-230-3062. That number is good for U.S., Canada, and also international callers. You can use the same number, 877-230-3062. Okay, so when it comes to building mutually satisfying relationships, which is what we're all striving for, compatibility plays a significant role in determining which relationships are going to be more effortless and which ones are going to actually create and cause us to have to work harder. So by taking the four colors, red, orange, yellow, green, I'm going to share with you, and this will be in my archives coming up in a couple days, so you can listen to this recording as well, the download of it. But I can also tell you that what I'm covering is in my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do with It, that's available through HayHouse.com and Amazon.com. And that book actually is an ebook format. So if you have an ebook reader, you can just download it in ebook format as well. So the red personality, the most compatible is orange. The next compatible is green. In fact, reds are attracted to greens like a moth to the flame. Then when we work on the other side, working toward the least compatible, the red is least compatible, is not as compatible with the red and is least compatible with the yellow. So most is orange and green, least is red and yellow. The orange personality, the most compatible is red and their own color of orange. The least compatible is green, and then the personality that they struggle with the most is yellow. The yellow personality, the most compatible is yellow. They're the only personality color that really should be involved in the relationship at that intimate level with another yellow because we're so difficult for other people to understand. We have areas of incompatibility. So yellows are the only color that should mate in their own likeness. And why? Because nobody else understands us. We're very difficult. We try to solve problems. We create problems in the process of solving problems. And the circle cycle goes on and on. So the most compatible for the yellow is yellow-green. The least compatible is red and orange. For the green personality, the most compatible is yellow and then green. The least compatible is orange and red. Now, again, that doesn't mean that a green that is paired with a red, that this isn't going to work. It just means that the differences in who the red and the green are very, very extensive, and it takes more work in order to make the relationship work. The reason that the red and the orange are most compatible is because both view life from a realistic perspective. They're both traditional in their belief systems, and they also understand the need for consistency, and they have strong family ties. The most compatible with the orange is the red. Now, this is workable as long as the orange controls their emotional outburst and the reds don't take them for granted. When a red starts taking an orange for granted, then what occurs is then there's a power struggle and incompatibility surface. So the orange, really, in order to make that relationship work, is to find a constructive way to express yourself emotionally without the emotional outbursts. So in that, when you go to the yellow, being the least compatible with the orange, if an orange has an emotional outburst, as a yellow, I see it as a problem. I jump on it like a dog on a bone, and I'm going to solve your problem. And what I do is, in the process of solving your problem, I hurt your feelings. And then I hurt your feelings, and now we have another kind of problem around incompatibility. So the most compatible with the orange is the red. When it comes to yellow, I mentioned that the most compatible with the yellow is the yellow, and the reason for that is because the yellow challenges others' intellect. Relationships that don't involve the constant expression of emotions is something that I favor the most. Potential conflict arises when I'm going to be, as a yellow, held responsible for other people's behavior. So that's why the most compatible with the yellow is the yellow. The most compatible with the green is the yellow. And the reason for that is that yellows appreciate greens because you're very creative creatures. We love your creativity. The only thing is that you get emotional. So what we have to do is to love the creativity and overlook the emotion, but be mindful of the emotion, listen to it, but don't become engaged in the emotion to the point where then as yellows we become critical. So I think you can see by the way that I'm sharing this is the fact that we all have compatibility areas, and then we have areas where we're not compatible, even when we are, by nature of personality, most compatible. So for the greens, greens enjoy the protective nature of a yellow's love. They enjoy the way that yellows care for their needs. Yellows provide a sense of consistency in their life without that need to control. Yellows need to be free. Greens need to be free. That's a compatible factor. The green enjoys the yellow stimulating conversations that yellows have. Big picture thinkers, gets into that creativity. Greens is a dreamer. Yellows is a big picture thinker. And there's the compatibility again. They both love the creation of ideas, and they both need the freedom and flexibility. So again, as we're going in and we're looking at all of these different aspects of personality, it's recognizing that while we're compatible, then we still have to work at it. It's like I started out. Compatibility is like an insurance policy. We have to go back in and we have to check it out and renew it on a regular basis in order for it to work. So again, if you want to know more, I know this is a lot of information around compatibility, but especially if you're looking for Mr. or Ms. Right, you're going to want to know what personalities are most compatible with you and what personalities are you going to have to work harder to keep the relationship healthy. So again, my book, Love, What's Personality Got to Do With It, available through HayHouse.com and Amazon.com. Those are the areas. That's the book that really goes in, looks at love, how each personality defines love, the intimate needs, how to communicate where power struggles surface, and the compatibility factor. So I think that if you're looking for love or you're in a relationship with love and it's waning a little bit because of power struggles, that's probably the best book for you. All right, let me go ahead and jump in. Hi, Debbie from Illinois. Hi, sweetie. How can I help you?
Hi. I'm okay. I actually talked to you in February, and some of the same issues are going on again. The upper back comes out, and I'm getting like 3 hours of sleep or 4 hours of sleep a night. I have gone to a regular doctor, which did test and found my adrenals fatigue. So went on some stuff for that, and went on some other stuff, some medical and some natural. Both of them bloated my stomach up to the point I couldn't even get my clothes on.
Gotcha.
So we had to stop that. So that wasn't an option. Went to an integrative doctor who tried some natural stuff and finally said, you know, getting people to sleep is the toughest thing, and I just don't know. He said, oh, you know, like, here's an antidepressant. And, you know, I'm like, well, wait a minute, but that doesn't solve my problem. So
exactly.
Then I went to a Chinese herbologist, and he's trying to work with me, and he's just puzzled between the back and the sleep. And I know moving back to my hometown, Quincy, because my husband got transferred here about 9 years ago, it has not helped because I haven't settled in here. It doesn't feel right, and I don't have any friends. I've tried. I've done stuff, and so that leaves me in isolation a lot. So I don't know.
Okay. So first thing I'm going to tell you, sweetie, is all the things that got you to where you are with your body took a long time. You're very, very healthy. You are very healthy. Please hear that. And what is happening in the neck, in the back, the whole area, this has been a long process to get it to the place, sweetie, where it's reached a point where your body doesn't know what to do. The reason I shared that is this is a process, and it's going to, I don't know how long it takes, because I never know, you know, what is going to, what's going to trigger something that's going to set off this avalanche of change that's going to make these things happen. So I avoid what doctors do. I avoid saying this is never going to get well, because I know in your case it is. I never say that it's going to take 3 months, because you might even be able to do it in 3 hours or 3 days. But the most important thing is, in the sleeping process of what we're dealing with, and thank you for going and trying all the different things to recognize what work and doesn't work. There are several factors that are going on with the sleeping. One is the hormonal changes your body are going through as a female. That naturally changes our circadian rhythm and changes the cycle. Now, that's one area that we can address and we can work with. Then I go to the other, and I've got some hypothyroidism. I've got a thyroid that's sluggish. You're not off the scale, but it's sluggish. A doctor's not going to recognize that that could be a dynamic part of what's going on, because you're not medically, technically off the scale. But I've got a thyroid based on the hormones that is sluggish. So we could take the thyroid and we could say, okay, what do we need to do to get the thyroid jump started, to where the metabolism jump starts, to where the circadian clock gets in and really works with it. Then the other part of it is we have the adrenal fatigue, which is its own certain element. When we have hypothyroidism, it isn't unusual for adrenal fatigue. When we have hormone, we have hypothyroidism, we have adrenal fatigue. So the reason I share that, sweetie, is so you can recognize that this is multiple facets of a lot of things that have really got your body there. So the most important part in the healing part of it is we want you to get sleep. And it's where do we go that's most effective that gets you the sleep. So when I go in, the adrenal support and what you were given, did they muscle test you with that, honey?
Did they muscle test what they were giving you? Quote unquote. Regular doctor, no, didn't. And the integrative doctor didn't. And then the herbologist didn't. Now they did try hormones, the bioidentical, because they know those are off in the integrative. And they just bloated me up too terribly.
Right.
And so it's like everything is just reacting to my body, so I can't do anything.
Well, your body has basically reached a place that's saying, whoa, come on, people. We don't want to keep throwing things at it. Just let me figure out how to do this part of it. So anything that you're going to put in your mouth that is not something that you ingest on a daily basis in your normal life, you'll want to muscle test it, sweetie. And there's, you can go on the website. There's a lot of different ways to muscle test. One of the things that I always use personally is that if I'm going to take a supplement, I put that supplement in my pocket. I carry it around for 10 or 15 minutes. If I feel the same way that I did when I put it in there, then I have to question whether it's going to work. If I feel better with it in there, where I have more energy, then I'm going to take it. If I feel drained, I'm not going to take it.
Okay.
So that's a way to muscle test. So, going in, your body just talked to me differently. So hang on a second. Interesting. Your body just said to me, what we're doing is we're not doing the wrong thing. We're just throwing the wrong things at your body. Your difficulty in sleeping is tied to your atlas. It's cervical vertebrae 1. And you have an injury in cervical vertebrae 5, 6, and 7. Did you have whiplash? Did you fall and hit your head?
Well, I don't remember that. I mean, I had a bad experience with a chiropractor 2.5 years ago that put me out of whack, really bad. Okay. And then just like maybe a week or so ago, I tripped on a root. When we were walking, my husband and I went flat on my back like if you slip on black ice.
Yeah. Okay, so you know what? Your body just said to me, oh, Carol, we can talk about all the rest of this stuff. That's fine, blah, 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 blah. Let's go to the source. The sleeping, the inability to sleep is you're not comfortable in your spine. And what has occurred is whatever was an old injury in cervical vertebrae 5, 6, and 7 twist the spine at opposites. 5 twist to the right, 6 twist to the left, 7 twist to the right as it goes into the thoracic spine. What that's doing is that's got your spine out of alignment. It's taking your atlas, that cervical vertebrae 1, it's got it off to the right a little bit. Your skull isn't seated the way it needs to on the spine, and you're not sleeping because you're not comfortable. Your spine's not comfortable. You're hurting. Whether it's at a deep level, you're hurting. So I'm going to throw out some things, and then you can go in, and I'm going to tell you how to do this. Let me throw them out first. You can find a non-force chiropractor that works with the central nervous system that does not manipulate the spine at all. If you're fearful of that, you could look at myofascial release, where they go in and do a deep muscle release. What you're dealing with is you're dealing with sore muscles that are pulling your vertebrae out of alignment. This is a muscle issue. You could deal with that. You could work with that. You could also go in, and you do need to take some ibuprofen or Aleve or Advil. Are you taking any of those things?
Oh, yeah. Right now I take that. So you're 5, 6, and 7 are on your upper back? Cause that's where
they are. They're
out.
They're your
okay.
upper back. They begin about 3.5-4 inches from where your, 3.5-4 inches. Yeah, about 3.5 inches in your case from where your neck enters your shoulders.
Right.
And that's your
that's
upper
exactly
back.
Exactly right. Yeah.
And there's a brachial plexus there that has a whole bunch of little fine nerves that animate the arms and the wrist and the fingers and everything else. And when you sleep and you stay in one position too long, those nerves become compressed. They send the message to wake your brain up. Your brain wakes it up, so you're going to move, and then you can't go back to sleep. So So you can do that.
And
you could look at acupuncture. So, excuse me, sweet, and I'll come back to you because my brain is, your body's yucking
no,
at
go
me.
Ahead.
Okay,
no,
so.
Go ahead.
So we want non-force chiropractic working only with central nervous system. Look at myofascial release. You could also look at doing some acupuncture. Take one of those words. Take myofascial, put it on a piece of paper. Take acupuncture, put it on another piece of paper. Take the non-force chiropractic and put it on another piece of paper. Put one of those in your pocket and see how you feel. Take another one, put it in your pocket, give yourself an hour or two in between, see how you feel. Then do another one, see how you feel. Then what you want to do, whatever one feels like you need, I want you to take that piece of paper, put it under your pillow before you go to sleep and leave it there all night long, and you'll have your answer in the morning, which direction for you to go.
Okay, because I do go get the upper back put back in like twice a week to this person I found that doesn't push on it on the on but a lot, but you know, he's not hard on it, but
right,
and it just pops right back out.
Right. Well, what would really work well for you is non-force chiropractic, where they actually use activators and tools on either side of the spine to be able to release the tension that the muscle has on the spine. So what your brain is saying gets down through your body so you can get comfortable in your body, comfortable in your skin, and that's going to help align your hips. That's why your stride was off. And why you tripped is your stride was off because your muscles in your neck are frozen, and then your little butt muscles were trying to do whatever they need to keep you balanced. So everything else that we've talked about, everything else we've done are certainly a part of it, but your soul just said to me, Carol, this is the problem. This is why she's not sleeping. Yes, everything else is real. It's true. But she's not sleeping because she can't get comfortable. And it's creating an irritation that's creating this inflammation. That's why I had asked about the ibuprofen or Advil, whatever you're taking, because you need to quell the inflammation. The other thing is heat, ice, heat, ice. That will relax the muscles, and my sense is the vertebrae will start to fall into line. It'll take the pressure off the atlas, and then you're not going to feel the pressure in your head, your neck, your upper back, and in your pelvic girdle area, sweetie.
So real quick, do you see anything like major structurally wrong with it?
No, it's just, let me go in. I have to be very clear. Majorly structurally wrong, no. Do I have an area that had a herniated disc at one time? Absolutely. That part of the disc, there is a compression in it. It is not bone to bone. I do not have bone spurs. But what I have is I don't have that real cushiony little shock absorber between cervical vertebrae 6 and 7. When 5 twist, it twists the compression on that little squeezed out part of that disc, puts bone closer to bone. 7 tries to ride it by pulling it out. So nothing majorly structurally wrong, but I do have a herniated disc that has healed itself that is not as thick as it should be.
Okay.
And the best way to work with that is once that occurs, then it's something people can go in and get a new disc put in. We don't need to do that in your case. The best thing, most important thing is keep those muscles relaxed, keep yourself stretched, and so forth. That'll help you tremendously.
Okay, thank you.
You are welcome, honey. And, you know, thank you for coming back in again. Golly, I don't know why your body didn't say it before. Sorry, I just said that. Your body.
Oh, that's okay.
And you know what your body said?
You're just wonderful.
You are too. What your body said is, Carol, she wasn't ready to hear it, and you weren't ready to go there yet. So there you go. Light and love to you, honey. Happy holidays as well.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, thank you so much for joining me today. My gosh, I can't believe how quickly this time goes. All the callers that were on the line, please try me again at another show. I remember your names. I've touched your energy. I love who you are. So give me a try another time, and I will see that you get online. Anyway, lots of information on compatibility. Remember that people are not really trying to make our lives miserable. It's just that they see the situation differently than we do. What that does is that creates stress, that creates that struggle, power struggle, that creates a sense of being incompatible. Focus on the compatibilities, spend your time focusing on those, love that about the other person, and even the personalities that technically are least compatible can live a happy, healthy, loving life. If you want to listen to this show in more detail, again, lots of information, please do go to my website, www.ritberger.com. Click on the tab that says teleclasses. There'll be a drop-down menu for archives. All 110 shows that I've done on Contact Talk Radio are there for your listening pleasure. Thank you so much again for joining me. Join me next Wednesday, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. Light and love. Have a wonderful week. I'll see you next Wednesday on the radio.
You've been listening to The Carol Ryberger Show. Join Carol next week and every week at 10 a.m. Pacific Time on ContactTalkRadio.com. To contact Carol, visit her website at www.ryberger.com. That's www.ritbergere.com. See you soon.